Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
It's the best of the John Frederick Show, y'all!
Live in Washington, D.C., I am your commander of common sense, your oracle of the deplorables, Godzilla of truth, all wrapped in one. Not much sleep these days. Unbelievable what is going on right now. So, let me just give you an update, give it to you straight, and also give you a warning. If you choose to engage in the nonsense that is going on in social media, I can't help you, right? Go to the news sources that are going to tell you the truth. Newsmax is where I go. The Virginia Star. And I'm not kidding. The misinformation that is getting out there is incredible. And I'm done with Fox News. The fact that they called Arizona with faulty modeling, I'm done. I can never watch them again other than Tucker Carlson. Can't do it. I go to Newsmax, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Hey, I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Now, let me give you an update, and I'm going to be very candid with you, okay? Let me give you the bad news. The bad news is in Virginia, where Abigail Spanberger has overtaken Nick Freitas by 5,000 votes. There's still some absentee ballots out, but they favor Spanberger. So Abigail Spanberger is going to win that race. If you haven't heard, she is going to win that. She is going to win that race. Taylor's already lost. Bob Goodwin. So basically, there's no change in the House in Virginia. I was hoping to pick up two seats. I really thought we'd pick up the Taylor seat, but he got beat by 15,000 votes. I mean, he got crushed and lost Virginia Beach, and I never thought he would do that. So. Kind of ends Scott Taylor's political career. And he worked really, really hard. Nick Freitas, he's still a House of Delegates member. He's still got a future. But Virginia is very difficult. I mean, you look at these numbers. You know, we got beat at the top of the ticket by 400,000 votes and 10%. At 9%. They doubled the margin last year against Hillary. Last year we got beat by 4.5. This year we got beat by 9. And it's tough. And we had a great ground game. We had 7,000 volunteers. We left it all on the field. Our rural voters in Southwest Virginia showed up like gangbusters. And, you know, we got nearly 2 million votes. You know, Trump got he got about 2 million votes in Virginia. I would have thought that was good enough to be competitive. We knew we were going to get 2 million. We thought about 4 million would vote. The problem is 4.4 million voters voted. The Democrats keep increasing in Virginia their vote numbers. I mean, I knew we were going to get 2 million, and that's what I was basing everything on. I didn't expect them to get to 2.4 million. I mean, they're getting them out. The Democrats in Virginia just come out now to vote in every election. That is why winning Virginia on any kind of a statewide level right now, I don't see the math book. That's why I'm not going to run for governor. I mean, I just don't see the math. It doesn't exist. I don't know why this has been happening, but we got 2 million votes and still got crushed. So our vote total was there. We knew we'd get that if we worked hard, and we did. I mean, we were shy by, you know, 5,000 or 6,000. We got 2 million votes, but, you know, they got 2.4. Morgan Griffith just texted, and he said, "I'm proud of my 9th district. They voted higher than ever before." And he should be, because he was, even with not an opposition on the ballot. I mean, the number of rural voters that we got out for the Republican ticket, Trump, Whitman, Bob Good, who, by the way, crushed Cameron Webb. That was a joke. Think that he was going to win. Ben Klein. I mean, we just rolled up huge numbers, huge numbers. You know, I was really excited about that. 888-480-JOHN. Got somebody just called me on my mobile. You got to call the studio. 888-480-JOHN. 888-480-5646. Can't call me on my mobile when I'm on the air. Okay. So, anyway, the 9th district thank you, Morgan. 9th district, a huge turnout. And we had big numbers, but you know, 1,927, you know, that wins. Normally in Virginia, you get 2 million votes. I mean, you're right there. That's why I was saying, you know, this is, I thought it was going to be a 3 or 4 point race for a long time because I knew, you know, we had targeted to get 2 million voters out, which was a yeoman's effort. And, you know, we ended up with about one, I get right now we're at 193. So we were about 20,000 short of that, but pretty good. I mean, it was an outstanding effort by my team. We only had 12 people. So, you know, Pennsylvania had 195 paid staff for Trump. We had 12. You know, they had millions of dollars. We had literature. So they did a good job, but we did, you know, per capita, the team that we put together for the Trump campaign in Virginia was phenomenal. These kids, they just were. I never had a better team. I never had a more focused and no drama. I mean, I told you this before. Trump calls me no drama Johnny. Just no drama. I mean, no fights with anybody. No, like, sending Bossy in to make peace between people. None of that. They just got up every day, knocked on doors, and worked. And that's what it takes. But, you know, the Democrats got 2.3 million votes. I don't know where they got that other 300,000. They just keep growing their total. So it is what it is. But right now, we lost by 9, this state. So, but let's get on to the bigger picture. That's figured I'd start with Virginia, right? We start there. So let's get on with the bigger picture. Okay, now, let me lay this out. Trump is going to hold Georgia. He's got a 23,000 vote right lead right now in Georgia. 98% are in. What the campaign is telling me is all of Atlanta and Fulton County are in. Atlanta and Fulton County are in. So there's no way they can make up 23,000 with Atlanta in. Most of the outlying areas are going to go for Trump. So that margin will expand, not shrink. They're done. We're going to win Georgia. North Carolina should have been called 2 days ago. The fact they haven't called North Carolina is absolutely criminal behavior. But they are criminals, right? The fake news is criminals, so we get it. But he's going to win North Carolina. So these are done, right? Now in Pennsylvania, as the votes continue to get counted, and this is likely to go to lawfare, we have 165,000 vote lead. We have 160,000 vote lead in Pennsylvania as these tallies come in. Now, what the campaign has done is they've got a lawsuit going now to A, stop the counting after the ballots that have already in. These ballots that are coming in now, there's no rhyme or reason to these. So that's number one. The math that we have says we're going to hang on in Pennsylvania with the existing ballots that are there. So Pennsylvania still looks good. The math is the same. We still have 165,000 vote lead. And most of Philadelphia now is going to be done within the first batch of counting today. And there were 300,000 outstanding ballots in Philadelphia, and now they're down to about 50,000. We're getting about 8% of those. We targeted 5. So we're going to be fine. Hang on. I've got callers. Hang on. Now let's get to Arizona, right? Trump has closed the gap in Arizona to 69,000. I'm going to make a definitive statement. Based on everything that we've seen overnight, the Trump campaign is very confident that we are going to carry Arizona. Nevada is going to be very, very close. We think we got the edge there, but we are going to carry Arizona. That is going to leave Pennsylvania. Arizona will be called for Trump within a day and a half, probably by 5 o'clock today. So we are going to carry Arizona based on all the trends there, what we have seen. We have a shot to carry Nevada. We are going to carry Arizona. We are going to carry and keep Georgia and North Carolina. That leaves Pennsylvania. And this is likely going to the Supreme Court before it's over. Pennsylvania, at the end of the day, is going to determine who is president. And the problem we have in Pennsylvania is when carts of ballots start showing up with no rhyme or reason, because they just mail them out. It's like everybody that had an address got a ballot. So there's no rhyme or reason now. And if they haven't come in right now, and they're coming in and they're being harvested, the army of lawyers to scrutinize these is going to be exhausting. This is going to go on for days. Obviously, if we don't win Arizona or Nevada, then Pennsylvania becomes moot. But we were down by 500,000 in Arizona. Remember that? Last night? Now we're down by 69,000. Big difference. Actually, it's 68.5. Just got an update. We're down by 68.5. Every time ballots come in Arizona, the margin shrinks. So we're going to win that. And once we win Arizona, and we think they're going to have to call this by the end of the day today, by the end of Arizona time, which is, I think they're on mountain time right now because of the time change. By 7 or 8 p.m. tonight, Arizona is going to get called for Trump. No question about it. When that happens, no. Somebody just texted in, do we need to win both Nevada and Arizona? No. We need to win. If we win Arizona, Nevada doesn't matter. If we win Nevada, Arizona doesn't matter. Because we're also going to win Alaska, which is 3. So Trump right now with Alaska has 217. They haven't called it. Who knows? It's like stupid. He's got 217. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia gives him 264, actually 265. And then Nevada has 6 and Arizona has 11. Either of those states, Trump's president again if we hang on in Pennsylvania. All right, that's my update. I got people on hold. Adrian in Richmond, hang in there. And just hang in there. Marie in Chester, soon as we get back, we'll have you on. Just wanted to give you that update and make it as timely as possible. But I don't really have the answer for anybody in Virginia. I'll have to figure it out, but I really don't have the answer. I mean, we got crushed again. John Frederick's Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay with us with your calls.
The John Frederick Show.
Let's get to Sheriff Clark. Sheriff David Clark. How you doing, Sheriff?
John, how are you?
I'm feeling good today because I know we're going to win Arizona. This thing is going to come down to lawfare in Pennsylvania. By 6 o'clock Eastern time today, we're going to have pulled ahead in Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm angry today, and I'm not angry at the left. I'm angry at us, at our side. I'm not going to cling to this hope. The Trump campaign has to fight in these states. There's no doubt about that. He has an obligation to do that, but I'm not going to cling to this hope that somehow, we're going to pull a rabbit out of a hat here and that this will require. Look, the deck was stacked against us from the beginning, and we know that. I can't, for the love of me, figure out 2 days after an election why they're still counting votes anyway. I mean, why couldn't they get this done within 24 hours of the polls closing like every other state did except North Carolina all of a sudden stopped counting. Georgia stopped counting. I don't understand this, okay? We the deck is stacked against us. We knew it. We know their proclivities to cheat, lie, and steal in elections, but we had no countermeasures to neutralize it at best, to neutralize it. All right, where were the countermeasures? I'll give you an example. In Philadelphia, where our GOP and conservative poll watchers were turned away, why'd they go away? Why'd they walk away? Why didn't they amass 100 people to go there and conduct a sit-in, a protest? They said, we're not leaving. We have a right to observe this poll, to observe these votes come in, and we're going to do it and stage a sit-in. Force the police to come and arrest 100 people. When at some of these other counting locations, why didn't we have thousands of people? This is what the left does. Thousands of people there to watch, and it's some shenanigans or hanky-pankies going on. We're going to make sure that it stops. So they're dealing from the bottom of the deck, and that's why I said I'm not going to hold on to hope here. They're dealing from the bottom of the deck. The dealer is the left, the Democrat Party, and we're sitting at a table where the rules are stacked against us, and we could just continue to participate. We continue to just bitch about it. Well, they're cheating. Well, they're lying. Why don't we stop it, damn it?
Look, I understand what you're saying, but what do you think we ought to do, Sheriff Clark?
Well, right now it's a day late and a dollar short, but we knew. The president knew. Look, the president did everything that he could. He really did. That man fought. He left everything out on the table. It was up to us.
Right.
All right? And we turned out in some record numbers in some areas, but we should have been prepared. When I say we, this is the job of the state GOP. This is the job of the RNC to have not lawyers ready, because I don't think this thing's going to be overturned in court anyway. That's just my guess, and I hope I'm wrong, but my political sixth sense is pretty good. Right. But we should have had people, thousands, at least hundreds of people at counting places, because the counting of the votes is where the cheating happens. All of a sudden, ballots mysteriously turn up, right? Right. Trucks pull up. I'm hearing stories. Trucks pull up at 4 o'clock in the morning at the Michigan counting place and delivered ballots. We should have had hundreds of people there to observe the process, and we were told, hey, get out of here. You can't do this. No, we're not leaving. That's what we should have done. No, we're not leaving. We have a right to do this. We have an obligation to do this, and this is why I think we fell short when it comes to we let the president down, I believe. Okay? So, you know, you got to look at some point. You got to at least start to begin to look forward. And I believe that we ought to use the same tactics that the left has used against this president in terms of delegitimizing him, in terms of a coup d'etat, and in terms of the deep state effort. What do we get from the Durham investigation? What do we get from the Bill Barr investigation in terms of Comey and Strzok and all of those people? We got nothing. So when you ask me today, John, and I'm not angry at you, when you well, what should we do? We should have done something a long time ago. We should have done something 6 months ago in anticipation of them stopping the counts, cheating, mysterious ballots showing up. And we should have had, and this is the job of the RNC, and I believe, and those people were flushed with cash. Every time I saw a story in the last 6, 7, 8 months, I'm hearing record intakes of money by the RNC. Where the hell did it go? In the end, the Trump campaign ran short of money. Where did the money go? How did this happen? So when you're going to ask me what we do, I think we go and we start with a self-examination of what happened from the inside. We look at ourselves first. And that's what I'm done with the GOP. I mean, I've never been a member anyway, but I'm done with them. And I would encourage people, and I've done this before, I would encourage people, stop giving money to the RNC and to the GOP. You gave your money to the RNC and the GOP, the state GOP. Why did Trump come up short? Where did that money go? Give to individual candidates. Do not give another penny to the Republican National Committee or the state GOP. Give to the individual candidate.
I agree with you in that we knew this was going to happen. You and I talked about it. Bannon and I talked about it. Bannon's been talking about it for 7 months, right? And so have I. So we knew this was going to happen. We knew there were trucks were going to pull up with ballots. We knew there was going to be shenanigans. We knew in Lynchburg, Virginia, they were counting votes without Republicans. We sued them. We knew this was going to happen. You know, the fact that there was nobody in Detroit, and the fact that they went to Philadelphia. Here's what I have to agree with you 100%. When I saw them going to Philadelphia yesterday, I'm like, why did you have somebody there Saturday? I mean, why are you going today? What, you didn't think this was going to happen? Trump said in Pennsylvania they mailed these ballots out that they were going to try to steal it. He said that 4 months ago, and so did I, and so did you and others, and certainly so did Bannon. So why are they sending Corey and Bossie and Pam Bondi and Giuliani there on a train at 12 o'clock on Wednesday? I mean, we should have been there last Friday, holed up in hotels. I don't know what they waited for. So in that, I agree with you, and I don't really have the answer for that. We're trying to get Corey on today. We'll figure it out. I'm sure they just dispatch him there. He's not a lawyer, more on the communications PR effort. But why we didn't have an army of people there is beyond me. And now they're going to try to steal it. And so that's going to end up. But you're right. You know, and as far as where the money went, I really can't talk for the RNC. I know when the Trump raised, you know, what, $1.4 billion or something, and we ran out of money at the end. And
that shouldn't happen.
A lot of it went, you know, a big piece of that went to the investment in the ground game, which definitely showed up on Tuesday. It was the ground game, Sheriff, that made this thing competitive. We don't have that. We get blown out. And they win all the Senate seats, and it's you don't have a country. So the investment that the Trump campaign made in the ground game, which I heralded on my show and told you that it was going to be the reason we won, that paid off. But there was also a lot of money wasted in basically chasing suburban women in these soccer mom areas that they were just not going to vote for Orange Man, no matter what you did. But look, these are decisions that Pascal made. Pascal got fired, right? So, you know, they decided to put Stepien in there and focus on the ground game, which is what the original objective was anyway. So that, look, there's going to be an accounting for that. These PACs have to have an accounting, right? I mean, you got to look at the La Civita PAC, $50, $60 million. Where'd that money go? You know, you got to look at that. Maybe it helped. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. You got to look at all these PACs and where did the money go? I mean, if you win, you're fine. When you lose, you got to ask questions, right? I mean,
yeah. You
played ball like me. You know, I know you coached, I coached, but, you know, when we lost a basketball game that was competitive in a conference that I should have won the game, we got beat by 15. Soon as I went to bed, I got up early, and what did we do? We got the assistants together, and we broke down the tape. What happened, right? What game plan did we have? What fell apart? What didn't get executed? What dumb strategy didn't work? What personnel mistakes did we make? That's how you get better, dude.
Yeah, but you also have to, and you know this, you have to get better at the preparation. Before game strategy counts. Sure, you break it down, you break down the tape, and you look where some of the shortcomings were. But what I'm seeing too often on our side is all we do is bitch and whine after. We bitch about Twitter. We bitch about big tech. We bitch about the liberal media and how they're unfair. We know this, but where was, you know, a lot of money went into the ground game, and the ground game appears to be successful, but we knew going in that the cheating was going to be, could be the thing that was going to be, could be the thing that broke our back. Why didn't they spend some of that money on a effort to counter and neutralize the cheating? When the mail-in ballot started, when the mail-in voting started in some of these states, and they used COVID as an excuse, what did we do? We went to court, okay, and we lost in court. Then we should have done what I believe we should have done. We should have engaged in some of the tactics they were. Look, I'm not going to sit at a poker table knowing people are cheating, and I'm just going to sit there and shrug my shoulder and, wow, they're cheating. Yeah, no wonder they won that hand. They're cheating. No, you got to do something about it. Why should we engage? We have to get rid of the segments about some of the tactics that we're going to have to use in order to counter cheating. You don't counter cheating by going to court.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not telling people that they need to cheat. We should have ballot hard. When we knew that mail-in was going to be in some of these swing states, and it was new, the mail-in, and we knew they were engaging in ballot harvesting, why are we ballot harvesting?
We didn't do ballot harvesting. Why? Because we don't agree with it.
That's why I said we have to get rid of self-righteousness about the kind of tactics we're going to need to do to deal with these guerrilla-type tactics that the left is employing.
All right.
We got to get rid of this Pollyannish, you know, view of, well, you know, we don't do that sort of thing. That's why I gave the analogy. I'm not sitting at a poker table knowing people are cheating, and I'm just going to sit there, well, I'm not going to cheat because, you know, that's not what we do. Well, get up from the damn table. Go to a different table.
Sheriff's fired up today. Sheriff wants to know, where's our ballot harvesting? You know what? That is the best question of the month. Where's our ballot harvesting?
You're listening. Talk radio.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Jeopardy host Alex Trebek has passed away from advanced pancreatic cancer. It happened today at his home in California. He hosted the popular program for more than 30 years. The average price of a regular gallon of gasoline fell 3 cents over the past 2 weeks, at $2.19 on average nationwide. Analyst Toby Lundberg says prices at the pump should continue to drop this month as well. The most expensive gas was found in the San Francisco Bay Area at $3.33 a gallon. The lowest in Tulsa, Oklahoma at $1.72. The average right now is $2.19 nationwide. President Trump and Vice President Pence are expressing their disapproval of the election results and the way they were handled in largely Democrat areas, are planning to launch lawsuits this coming week. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joe Biden says he got more than 70 million votes. This is SRN News.
As life gets back to normal and we start heading back to work, don't leave your leftover stash of toilet paper exposed to rodents. Send them packing the most humane way with Plug-In Pest Free. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, the electromagnetic device that utilizes the active wiring in your home or business to keep rodents and pests away. 100% chemical-free and environmentally friendly. Just plug it in. It's that simple. My strongest performer, the Pro Unit, is good for most homes and small businesses up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. Is your home or business protected? If not, order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly cloudy skies this weekend, and with a 40% chance of rain through tonight, up to about 81, down to 73 this evening. 70% chance of rain Monday and Monday night. High Monday, 80, low Monday night, 73. And a 50% chance of rain Tuesday through the rest of the week. Overnight lows around 70. Daytime highs into the lower 80s.
The year was 1957, and two of the number one songs that year were Pat Boone with Love Letters in the Sand, and Elvis had a huge hit with All Shook Up. A top 10 TV show was Have Gun, Will Travel, starring Richard Boone, who actually moved to St. Augustine in 1971. 1957 was also the year that the Boger family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville. Since then, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. And they offer free evaluations and fittings by four board-certified podorthists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, Boger Shoes can custom make orthotics in their on-site lab. Boger's also carries many popular brands like Birkenstock, New Balance, and Dansko, just to mention a few. And congratulations to Boger Shoes for winning Bold City's Best Specialty Shoe Store. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success for 63 years. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
Are you worried about working till you drop, losing your job, or not being able to retire? Lifestyles Unlimited members learn how to leave those worries behind. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show and discover life-changing information, like the principles we use to provide for our families and run our businesses, why you should have real estate in your portfolio, 5 ways real estate makes you money, and a whole lot more.
Weeknights at 9 on WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
Hello! I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Follow John Fredericks at JF Radio Show.
Let's get to Marie in Chester. Marie, sorry I went off on a tangent. I'm sorry, Marie.
That's okay. You're giving me hope, but I have to say there's a real problem with our electoral process. And regardless of what happens in this election, I don't trust it anymore. And my soul feels very hollow, and I'm very frightened. And And also, my other comment is whoever wins this election, they need to bring the manufacturing home. And with the press and the tech and everyone so far left, I really am worried about the future, and we've got to do something.
We're going to be fine, Marie. Marie, we're going to be fine. Look, we knew they hyped this coronavirus. They hyped the fear. They shut everything down. We knew they did this for one reason, and that was to get mail-in ballots. And exactly what's going on right now with Pennsylvania, so they can mail out ballots and steal the election if they had to. Now, but we knew this, right? I knew it. I've been saying it for how long? 7 months, right? How many times on the radio did I say the entire coronavirus hype machine, the fear-monger machine, is done for one reason? Get mail-in ballots. Get a state like Pennsylvania to justify mailing ballots to everybody and then being able to harvest them. That's why they did it. Now it's coming to fruition. We've got 100 lawyers there. Corey's there. Corey Lewandowski's in Philadelphia. Giuliani's in Philadelphia. Bossy's in Philadelphia. We got our best people there. So we're going to see what happens. But we're going to win Arizona. And regardless of that, okay, God is... Put Trump in, and only God can take him out. Period. So let's see what happens before we write our country off. Okay? If we were sitting here today and Biden was president in a landslide and they had taken the U.S. Senate with it, Marie, I'd be right there with you. But that didn't happen, and it isn't going to happen. And so it's not going to happen.
But here's the thing, John. It's not even, to me, it's not even who wins left or right. It's the fact that that there may never be another fair election.
Not true.
The tech.
Not
the
true.
Media.
Not true. Look, we got to fight it. You think if Biden wins today and we hold the Senate, you think people like me are just going to tuck tail and shut our windows and retire? Okay, I'm going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting as long as we got the Senate. We're going to keep fighting. And you know what? We're going to fight till hell freezes over. And then, guess what? We're going to fight on the ice. This thing is not done, right? If Trump loses, and I don't think he is, if he does, and we hold the Senate, we got to hold serve until 2022. These people are going to be such an unmitigated catastrophe. By 2022, we're going to take the House back. This is what happens in cycles. They can't help themselves. They're left-wing whacks. You know what they're going to do, just like they did in Virginia. They're going to try to pass all this crazy stuff. And we're going to hold serve, and we're going to hold our coalition together. The Republican Party has changed forever. We're not going back. We have a new coalition. It's the Florida Coalition. That's what we have, the Florida Coalition. 55% Hispanic votes, 27% of the black vote in Florida. We have a new party. Out of the ashes, Marie, will rise the phoenix.
Thank you.
All right. Poor Marie. Okay, look, guys, I know you're stressed, okay? Stephen Chester says, I agree with Marie. I have no faith in her government anymore. It's not the will of the people. It's the will of Washington and the swamp. Well, we got to change it, right? We tried to change it with Trump. Trump made a lot of mistakes at the beginning. He didn't understand it. Brought in Reince Priebus and the RNC, Katie Walsh, and all the swamp monsters. Okay, I get it. But now we're not going to just sit here and tuck tail, you know, because we took one here on appears on the chin. We're going to win Arizona. We got to hold Pennsylvania. He's president again. Everything changes the next day. If we don't, we held the Senate. That's done. There's no math. They can't win the Senate. Okay? So you put your faith in McConnell. We have no choice. And has Mitch McConnell not earned that over the last year, 2 years, with these judges, with Amy Comey Barrett, with the Supreme Court? Has Mitch McConnell not earned our trust? I think he's earned it, folks. I think Lindsey Graham has earned it. I think Ted Cruz has earned it. I think David Perdue has earned it. And I think I'm in love with Susan Collins, and she's earned it. I love Susan Collins. Susan Collins, wherever you are, I love you. We're going to be fine. We're going to rebuild this party. We're going to rebuild a coalition. I can't figure out Virginia right now. I'm still trying to understand how I got 2 million votes and got beat by 9. I'm still trying to figure that out. Haven't gotten there yet. I need a weekend to catch up on some sleep, and I'll figure that out. But we're going to fight. This thing is, country's gone. Come on, folks. Electoral process is gone. No. We have the Supreme Court. We just got Amy Comey Barrett in. Okay, we got a lot of good things. God, let us keep the Senate. That keeps our republic to fight another day, right? You got to fight another day. If we had lost the Senate, we're toast. Gone. No country. I agree with you. But we kept the Senate. Let's regroup. If Trump doesn't win, let's regroup, take a breath, and figure out the next battle plan. And there's going to be a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. And you're either with us and America First or you're not. That's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle in Virginia. Right? The traditional Republicans and those that believe in America First. So, you know, the fights go on. This is the beginning, not the end. This is the first quarter, not overtime. This is where we start. We're going to keep fighting until hell freezes over. Then we're going to fight on the ice. Don't worry about it. We got this, right? We have a movement. They have an old man and a communist. We have a movement. They won these states because of Orange Man bad. I think Orange Man's pretty good. They think he's bad. I get it, right? Get him out of there. They have no coalition. We broke their coalition in Florida. Florida's the model. DeSantis, if Trump loses, that guy's going to run for president in 2024. Good luck beating him for the nomination. They put together the model in Florida. We almost got there again in Wisconsin, and maybe we did. Maybe they stole it. I don't know. Hey, Carol, let me know if the ox is up so we get him on a little bit later. I kind of lost track of that. I'm like way behind on my paperwork. Carol, I got so much to do here. I don't even know. I just got to get to the weekend. Let's get to Brandon in Richmond. Brandon, you're live.
Hey, John. Aren't you a little bit worried that if Biden wins now that all the corruption now will go unchecked, all these investigations will stop, you know, all of these executive orders that Trump did that, you know, pulled the regulations and the taxes will all just be reversed with this new executive order? I mean, it's going to be hell before it gets better, isn't it?
Well, sometimes, you know, as you're going through recovery, you know, you got to take the treatment. It hurts. You go to the dentist. Your tooth hurts. You go to the dentist. When they start drilling, it gets worse, right? Then they put the cap on and you're good to go. Yeah. I mean, if Trump loses, the reality is they're going to reverse a lot of his executive orders. The swamp is swirling. You know, they're all going to make a bajillion dollars. They'll kick all of the Trump people out. They'll kick me out the next day. I'm going to be – they'll pull my White House credentials by 12:10 p.m. the day that Biden gets inaugurated. So, yeah, we're going to have to deal with that. But we gotta hold on until we get to the midterms, right? We just got to hold on. And we can hold on because of McConnell, who is going to go down in history as one of the most important leaders in the country. And I can't even believe I'm saying this, in the history. Because had McConnell not won these Senate races and he had not put on Amy Comey Barrett and fought through all this, we're done. So we just got to hold on, okay? Things are not going to go well, but there's only so much they can do. Like there was only so much Trump could do without the House. There's only so much you can do, right? So maybe they'll get Obamacare back. Like, who cares? I mean, come on. Oh, they're good, but they might get the Obama mandate back. Okay, they had a mandate. Nobody, you know, the country didn't collapse. Whatever. They're going to raise taxes? How are they going to raise taxes? They can't get that through McConnell. They can't get any of this stuff done. Their agenda, dead on arrival. And it's going to be played out every day. But the biggest thing is there's going to be a media shakeout, right? there's going to be a huge media shakeout. And do you think if Trump loses, we're not going to have a new media company? There's going to be a complete media shakeout. All right. Thank you, though, man. Thank you. Let's get to Ilana in Chesterfield. Ilana, you're live.
Good morning, John. Please, please speak. How shall I say? You somehow or other, you got a little bit like we have lost Mr. Trump. No, we didn't. It ain't over till it's over. And I believe that all the humongous crowds, et cetera, there is cheating going on. We got to fight like H-E-L-L. And you know, don't give up. Just don't give up. And I'm pretty well sure that President Trump is a fighter, and he will not buckle under, shall we say. The other thing, John, please, please, do you get publication of Hillsdale College, the infamous?
Yes. Yes.
I love it. The China threat, my God. I thought that I knew everything, but no. This is frightening, as frightening could be. And little old Anthony Fauci, you know, they call him a public health bureaucrat, not even a doctor. And the other thing is the 90% of our medicines, they produce it. And the companies that have got, I am just befuddled, and I hope and pray to the good Lord that Mr. Trump will take care of this when he gets reelected. So let's just think positive, okay? And I love you, by the way. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love that. Thank you very, very much. Yes.
The John Frederick Show.
Let's get to Congressman Morgan Griffith. He got a big vote on Tuesday, got reelected, had no opposition, got a couple people wrote somebody else in. But Congressman, I know you worked your tail off, as my team did out there. We got an enormous vote in the 9th District. Congressman, you got to be really pleased about that.
I am very, very pleased about that. Folks turned out. We had more new voters. People who had never voted before, who didn't think it mattered, and they realized that, President Trump mattered, and that we had to do what we could to hold on to the Senate. And so we voted for Trump Gate, and then they voted for me too. And I was pleased about that. But, we were very pleased with the increase in the number of voters. We hope that'll continue, and pleased with the results in the 9th district.
Okay, so let's look at Virginia for a moment, and then we'll go nationally, because I know you got a Freedom Caucus meeting, and I'm excited for you today, Morgan. But let's look at Virginia for a second, okay? Our target in the Trump campaign from day one was to get 2 million votes in Virginia. And so we put a model together to get 2 million votes. And we thought if we get 2 million votes in Virginia, we're going to be very competitive. And we got just under that. I mean, we had a great turnout in these rural areas. The 5th, the 6th, the 9th, I mean, you guys were just stellar. And, also in our other county, red type areas like Goochland and things like that, we did excellent. Accomack County, but on the Eastern Shore. But they got 2.3 million. Every time we think, okay, this is the number we need, they turn more voters out. I mean, they got almost 2.4 million people to come out for Biden. How are they getting all these voters? Where are they coming from?
Well, and that's hard for me to have much wisdom on, just because they're not in my district and they're not on my end of the state. But I would have to say that a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is coming out of Northern Virginia and some of the folks who drive in every day to work in the swamp, and they're convinced that that's the way everything ought to be run. And I was kind of hoping, and it didn't materialize, that we would have a fair number of people who work in the defense industry realize that, under Obama Biden, they got hurt, and we're rebuilding the military and making sure that our men and women who are out there in our fighting forces have the supplies they need. I had hoped we'd get a little bit more of that than I think we did, but that's part of the message we need to carry forward. And then I think you're right. We need to look at this coalition that was formed in Florida. I have always believed that, African Americans who are very religious ought to start turning towards the Republican Party. And if we can continue to create jobs, I think that helps. And then, Hispanics generally, and you never can, you know, there's all kinds of different folks in any grouping that you put together. But generally, people who have Hispanic history and ancestry, they believe in God, they believe in family, and they really don't like the government messing with them. I think I just defined a Republican, and I think we need to get that message out there.
You're right. Regardless of what happens over the next several days, we're going to hold the Senate. You guys increase your majority in the House. You've got some great new members. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let me just go over these numbers so people don't think that I'm whacked, okay? So our goal in the Trump campaign in Virginia, and we knew we had limited resources, right? We get it. I'm an adult. No drama. We took what we had and we said, okay, in 2016, Hillary Clinton got 1,981,000 votes, right? So she got just under 2 million votes. And there was a lot of enthusiasm for her. So we figured, okay, if we can get 2 million votes, we got to be competitive, right? So we got 1,700,050 last time. So we needed to get another 250,000 votes for Trump. And I thought if we did that, so maybe they get a little over 2 million. We got to be competitive, right? I mean, it's got to be 3. So we're tracking to get this number. That's why I kept saying, you know, we're down by 3 or 3.5 because we knew we were tracking to get there. So we get our 2 million. It's like we get the number we targeted, right? Instead of being right. A hero, instead of us today in Virginia, the Trump campaign, being a hero, they get 2.4 million and go from beating us by 4.5 to 9. They double it, yet we met our goal. We don't know how they got another 500,000 voters. We got another 250. They got another half a million. Go figure, right?
Yeah, and you know, we'll have to take a look at it and figure out where they came from and so forth. But I'm pleased. I mean, you haven't indicated that you've seen any signs of fraud. I didn't see any signs of fraud. There were a couple little. We had 3 votes in one of my counties that the people showed up and somebody had said they'd already voted for them. But that doesn't count for those kind of numbers. But there were a few little things. But there are always a few little things.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything widespread in Ireland that indicated any.
They just turned their people out. I mean, they have put together. They have made Virginia blue as a Commonwealth as a whole, and so we have to figure this out because. And the problem we've got going into 2021 is I'll never get those 2 million voters out again. So that's the problem we have is their 2.4 coalition. They keep coming out. We can't get these out again. I've been through this in 17, 18, and 19. You know, we had 2 shots to get them out, 16 and 20. They came out in droves. I mean, bless their hearts. They came out in droves. They're not going to come again in 21. That's the problem we got. Okay, let's get to better things to talk about, which is I'm so excited for you. Morgan Griffiths with us, Congressman, 9th District Republican. I'm so excited for you because you got a Freedom Caucus meeting today, and you have some new members, right?
Yep.
Tell us about it.
We had some members we knew were going to win, and so we invited them up for a meeting. We're doing some orientation. I'm going to be talking about rules coming up here in about an hour.
Really?
And, and we're going to be going over some things that they need to be ready for and prepared for when they get to Washington. But we have some members that are already going to come. Some of our members who are going to join, who were just recently elected, obviously are not going to be able to make it. But we're going to get with those who can make it and go over things. It's all day that we're meeting. Andy Biggs and others, and including myself, will be here. And we're going to be there to answer questions because we remember when we first got elected, and it's a whirlwind those first few weeks. And the more information you can have, the better you're ready to prepare and ready to go and ready to fight the D.C. swamp.
Can you say who are some of your new members, Congressman?
In all fairness, I don't know who's coming this morning. I don't have the list of attendees, but I'm trying to think of the lady's name out of, I believe, Alabama, who I don't even think the Democrats put up an opponent. But everybody knew she was going to win the day she got the nomination. She's joining us. There's at least a half dozen that are definitely.
What about that
coming.
Young lady? What about the mom? The young mom that won in Northwest Georgia. You have her.
She's coming. Yeah, that's
she's
it.
Coming.
I'm sorry.
What about Bob Gooden the 5th? Is he going to be?
I texted him yesterday. He didn't respond if he was coming or not. Again, I'm not the person who's right. Bringing him up here. But I it all depends on what's going on in Bob's world, but I would hope he would be here. He certainly indicated he would join the Freedom Caucus, and we would be glad to have him join with us.
Let's get to the House as a whole. Some good news here. Through this all, you gained, you're up five seats now. Are there any others that you could still win? What's your total potential net gain?
There are a number of seats that, you know, we could, I mean, I don't think we get more than 10, but, you know, that we have five or six that are still yet to be called and too close to call.
Have they called the Nick Freitas-Spamberger race in the seventh?
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it this morning, and then I was listening to you. That looks like that one's done. I don't know if Nick has conceded, but it looks like it's done.
Yeah, she's got a 5,000 vote lead, and there's only absentee ballots, and I don't think he's going to overcome that. I was very disappointed in that. I think Nick ran a great race, very energetic. I mean, you know,
Spamberger, great candidate.
He's a great candidate. She's a great candidate. I mean, the one that I was really surprised at is I really thought Scott Taylor would do better. I mean, I thought he was going to win. All the early numbers we had were exciting. I thought he was going to win Virginia Beach. He lost Virginia Beach by 12,000. She beat him by 15,000. That you got to look at the second district now and say to yourself, that's going to be tough because Loria is a horrible candidate. She doesn't do anything. She was not in the district. She's not a likable person like Abigail. Abigail's tough not to walk in the hall and like. I mean, she's just a very nice lady. Elaine isn't. She's standoffish. She's cold. She's creepy. I can't stand her, to be honest. Personally, Taylor got crushed. And so that's going to be one we're really going to have to dig into that. Because what happened there is Bobby Dyer got elected handily as a Republican mayor of Virginia Beach, and Taylor ran, you know, 17,000 behind him. How'd that happen?
I think the situation from 2 years ago came back to haunt him. I felt like he had mishandled that. It was not that big a deal, but I felt like he mishandled it from the get-go, and it left the narrative that he had done something, you know, really horrible, and he was never able to clear that up. I think that's your difference there.
I think so. You know, maybe we'll see what happens in 2022 with a different candidate. But Scott Taylor is a friend of mine. He's a good guy. He's a fighter, hard worker. He worked his tail off, but his career's over. He's done. I mean, that was such a shellacking.
And I probably ought to clarify for anybody who wants a clarification, I'd be happy to give it. I do not condone, you know, putting false names on a petition. I realize somebody might have thought that I said that was okay. No. What Scott Taylor did wasn't a problem. His people clearly did illegal acts, but what he did wasn't as big a deal, but he never separated himself from his people on that.
Yeah, he never came clean on it. I don't think it would matter, but it did. I mean, it did matter. I guess it certainly didn't matter that what Joe Biden did in China, but I guess it mattered here. But look, you know, tough as it is to say, politically speaking, Taylor's career's over. And I say that with love because he's a good friend of mine, but he's done. Congressman, it's always good to have you, man. Thank you for being with us and calling in. And look, we're going to win Arizona today.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know who told me? Andy Biggs.
Andy Biggs,
the guy I've been going to meet with. Tell Andy Biggs, hey, I saw you texted John Fredericks. He said you're going to win Arizona.
You're listening to The John Fredericks Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfredericksshow.com.